All right, welcome back everyone to the deep dive. You know, we love getting your requests for these deep dives, and this one has been coming up a lot lately. Goblin's ecosystem. We're diving into it today. I know for some of you it might sound a little, I don't know, mysterious maybe, but don't worry, we've got you covered. And to help us break it all down, we have our expert guide with us, as always.
Always happy to be here,
Me
especially when
too.
we're talking about something as potentially groundbreaking as goblins. It's an exciting project.
You've definitely got that right. So, you know, for our listeners out there, maybe you've seen Goblin's ecosystem popping up and you're thinking, okay, what is this? Is this like another trading platform? What are we talking about here?
And it's easy to think that at first glance. But from the research we've done, it seems like Goblins is aiming for something a lot bigger. Like they want to, I don't know, almost reinvent how we think about cryptocurrency trading.
And one of the biggest things that jumped out at me just from reading through this material is this big emphasis on decentralization. It seems like it's built into the DNA of the whole Goblins ecosystem. But what does that actually mean in practical terms? Like, they talk about eliminating the middleman, but how does that play out in the real world?
Well, a big part of it comes down to how Goblins uses smart contracts. And not just any smart contracts, they're emphasizing these immutable smart contracts,
Immutable.
meaning once those rules are set in the code on the blockchain, they can't be changed.
Not even by the Goblins developers themselves.
Nope. No one can just go in and tweak things after the fact. And that's a big deal because it creates this really trustless environment. You don't have to rely on a central authority to play by the rules.
So it's like that transparency is baked in.
Exactly. You can actually see the code, audit it, verify that everything's working as intended. That's very different from, say, traditional finance, where a lot of what happens is behind closed doors.
Very good point. And speaking of transparency, the source material we have also talks about this idea of self-custody, which is another thing that Goblins seems to prioritize. So for the average user, what does that actually look like? What does it mean to have self-custody in this ecosystem?
Basically, it means you're in control of your own assets. You hold your private keys, which are like the digital keys to your crypto wallet. Unlike a centralized exchange where you're trusting them with your funds, here you're calling the shots.
So no more worrying about like an exchange getting hacked or, you know, some kind of security breach that puts your crypto at risk.
Ideally, no. With self-custody, you're responsible for your own security, which can be a double-edged sword, but it also puts you in the driver's seat.
It definitely gives you more control. But okay, so we've got this foundation of decentralization, we've got self-custody. It all sounds very, very interesting, but at the end of the day, it's a trading platform, right? So how does Goblins actually facilitate that trading? I'm seeing this term liquidity pools come up a lot. What are we talking about there?
So liquidity pools, this is where it starts to get really interesting to me, but also where I think a lot of people, their eyes start to glaze over a little bit.
It's definitely one of those essential to understand parts of how these decentralized exchanges work.
It's like, okay, I get it. We're talking about pools of tokens, right?
And instead of a bank or a big institution managing these pools, it's just regular users.
Right. Like you and me, we could be the liquidity providers. Exactly. You put in your tokens, become part of this pool. But then the question becomes, what's in it for me? Right? Why would I want to lock up my tokens like that?
Because there's always an opportunity cost, right? Like, what if the price of my tokens goes up while they're stuck in this pool?
And that's where the incentives come in. So when you contribute to a liquidity pool in Goblins, you become a liquidity provider, as we said. And as a provider, you earn a portion of the trading fees generated by that pool.
Interesting. So it's like I'm getting a cut of the action just for providing the liquidity that makes the whole thing work.
Precisely. And the more you contribute to the pool, the larger your share of the fees. It's all proportional.
Okay, that makes sense. But how does the trading actually happen within these pools? We see these terms like automated market maker or AMM, and honestly, that always sounds a bit intimidating. Can you demystify that for us a little?
Yeah, AMM can sound very jargony, but it's a really important concept in all of this. So basically, the AMM is like the engine, I guess, that keeps those liquidity pools running.
The engine. I like that.
It's a smart contract that uses a specific formula to determine the price of the tokens within that pool. And this price is determined by, you guessed it, supply and demand. More demand for a token, the price goes up. Less demand, the price goes down.
Okay, so that makes sense. But how is that different from, say, a traditional stock exchange where you've got buyers and sellers placing orders and then those orders get matched up?
Big difference. With an AMM, there's no order book. It's all handled automatically, instantly. You want to trade. You interact directly with the smart contract. The AMM takes care of it all. based on that predefined formula.
So it's potentially much faster, much more efficient.
Exactly. No waiting around for orders to be filled or worrying about price slippage like you might see on a traditional exchange. And that's a big part of what makes these decentralized exchanges so appealing.
That's a really clear explanation. I appreciate that. But there's even more to it, isn't there? It's not just about providing liquidity. There's also this whole other layer of, I guess, ways to earn within Goblins. I'm seeing terms like yield farming and staking. Should we start with yield farming? What exactly is that all about?
Yeah, so yield farming. Think of it like this. You're taking that basic idea of providing liquidity and you're, I don't know, getting a little more sophisticated.
Okay, how so?
Well, instead of just putting your tokens in one pool and letting them sit there, you're actively moving your tokens between different pools, trying to find the ones with the highest potential returns.
Oh, interesting. So there's a bit more strategy involved.
Definitely. It's more hands-on.
Yeah.
For sure. But with that higher potential return, there's always, you know, a bit more risk too.
Right. No risk, no reward. What kind of returns are we actually talking about here with yield farming on Goblins? And more importantly, what are some of the risks that people should be aware of? So there are definitely some risks to be aware of with yield farming.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like with anything in crypto, you know, there's always a chance you could lose money.
Right, right. And with yield farming, it seems like one of the biggest risks is this thing called impermanent loss. Did I say that right?
Yeah, impermanent loss. And it's a bit of a head scratcher for some people, but it's essential to understand if you're going to be dabbling in yield farming.
Yeah, break it down for us. What is impermanent loss?
Okay, so basically it happens when the value of the tokens in your liquidity pool starts to, you know, diverge. Like, let's say you've got a pool with token A into token B. If the price of token A goes way up, but the price of token B stays flat or even goes down, well, you could actually end up with less value than if you had just held onto your tokens separately.
Ouch. That doesn't sound very good.
Yeah, it can be a bit of a bummer. But it's called impermanent loss for a reason. If the prices of those tokens eventually return to a similar ratio as when you first entered the pool, that loss can disappear. But of course, there's no guarantee of that happening.
Right, right. So it's all about managing risk and understanding the potential downsides. Okay, so yield farming is, like we said, a bit more advanced, maybe for those who are willing to be a bit more active with the crypto. But what about staking? That's another term we see a lot in the Goblins material. What's the deal with staking?
Staking is a bit more straightforward, I'd say. It's basically like you're committing to the platform for the long haul.
Okay, how so?
Well, with staking, you're locking up your GOB tokens for a certain period of time. And in exchange for that commitment, for providing that, you know, that support to the network, you earn rewards.
And what kind of rewards are we talking about here?
Typically, you'll earn more GOB tokens. But one thing that caught my eye with Goblins is they also mentioned the potential to earn WBCH through staking.
WBCH. Now, we were talking about that a little bit earlier, but just as a quick reminder for our listeners, what exactly is WBCH?
Right. So WBCH stands for Wrapped Bitcoin Cash. It's basically just Bitcoin Cash that has been, like, you know, wrapped up in a way that allows it to interact with the Smart BCH blockchain, which is where Goblins lives.
So it's like taking Bitcoin Cash and putting it in a digital envelope that allows it to play nicely with this specific blockchain.
Exactly. It's a way to bridge different cryptocurrencies and ecosystems.
Very cool. So with Goblins, you could potentially earn WBCH through staking, which you could then use elsewhere in the Smart BCH ecosystem. A lot of interesting possibilities there.
For sure. And there's another nice little side effect of staking. Because you're locking up your tokens, it actually makes the network more secure and stable.
How so?
Well, the more tokens are staked, the harder it becomes for malicious actors to, you know, mess things up. It's like a security deposit in a way.
I see. Okay, this has been incredibly insightful. But before we wrap things up completely, I do want to take a step back and kind of, you know, think about the bigger picture here. We've been talking a lot about Goblins in isolation, but it's important to remember it's built on top of Smart BCH. So I'm curious, what are your thoughts on what this could mean for the future of decentralized finance on the Bitcoin Cash blockchain as a whole?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
I think if Goblins gains traction, if they can attract a large and active user base, it could be a real game changer for Smart BCH.
Like, it could put Smart BCH on the map as a serious player in the DeFi space.
Exactly. And that could lead to more development, more innovation, more investment flowing into the whole Bitcoin Cash ecosystem. It's exciting to think about.
It really is. It's like they say, a rising tide lifts all boats, right? All right, well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into the Goblins ecosystem. We hope you found this incredibly informative and maybe even a little inspiring. As always, this is not financial advice. Do your own research, make your own decisions, but we hope this has been a helpful starting point for you. And to our listener who requested this deep dive, thank you so much. We love your curiosity. Keep exploring. And who knows, maybe you'll be the one pioneering the next big thing in DeFi. Until next time, everyone, stay curious and keep on diving.